You are now listening to WBPPR, Big Pretty Pirate Radio. This is An Evening with the Authors. I am your host, Dana Glass, and today I am joined by the president of the Disenchanted Forest Community Association, Sylvia Pinales. Did I pronounce that name correctly?
Pinales, yes.
Pinales. What did I say? Pinales? Pinales.
Pinales, like the pine tree?
Of course. Yes, Pinales. Pinales? Is that from a Spanish? Pinales. I've never been able to roll my R's. That's an L, but it's only one L as well. So Pinales. Pinales.
Pinales.
Pinales.
Pinales.
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing.
I think so.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy to have you here on the program. I've scribbled myself down some notes here, doing my own research because I do not currently have an intern. Once again, Marley, if you're listening and you hear this, I desperately am in need of assistance. But I wanted to just, you know, maybe open up a little bit and ask you how it is that you became the president of the Disenchanted Forest Community Association.
Well, it all started really with the Legion of Local Bureaucracy. You see, it's you do have to do a sort of a trial, not necessarily a trial by combat, but you know, there's a lot of tests that we have to go through. Mm-hmm. We have to do a sort of a letter writing campaign, mm-hmm. a faux letter writing campaign.
Okay, you write real letters and fake letters.
Yes, correct. Okay. Just to show that we have the capacity to write mm-hmm. letters.
Yes.
To communicate in an effective way.
Yes. Proving that you're literate.
Not just that, but that your hands have the dexterity to actually write letter after mm-hmm. letter after letter mm-hmm. after letter. Of course, we do use a printing service, but like I said, with the Legion of Local Bureaucracy, it is somewhat of a trial. So that's just one of the many tests that we are put through to ensure that we are capable of not necessarily leading a community, but making sure that people stay within the bounds of bureaucratic organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the forest can be quite a messy, unkempt place. Mm-hmm. So just like any society, we would like to sort of tidy things up just a little bit.
Yes. And if you suffer from debilitating allergies and asthma, as I do, the outdoors in general, let alone a forest, can be a deadly and scary place.
It can be without the right medicine practitioner mm-hmm. or potion maker, but we luckily have a few in our employ, or at least in the community, who do specialize in rheumatic fever, in allergic reactions, mm-hmm. in reagent reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So we have really, we run the gamut. It's quite a diverse place, the Disenchanted Forest.
Are there any potions for scoliosis?
I believe there is. I have not kept up on my potion making.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a friend that you have to source snake vertebrae.
Okay.
Very tough bark.
Okay.
Generally speaking. So yes, anything.
It sounds more like building a spine rib cage sort of thing for the outside of your body, not so much a potion.
The ingredients for creating an exoskeleton and creating a scoliosis potion are quite similar. It depends on how the practitioner utilizes those components to produce the appropriate prescription.
I myself, like so many in our nation right now, am currently an unhoused person. And without any place to lay my head or to, you know, comfortably edit this pirate radio podcast, if I were looking for a place, would you say that the Disenchanted Forest would be a welcoming place to a new transplant?
Well, we do have our fair share of welcoming discarded royalty within the mm-hmm. confines of the Disenchanted Forest. Not necessarily unwelcome, but it is preferred that you do go through the correct channels. We have several. We have several ads. Well, not in this flyer, at least, but we are preparing several advertisements for the next flyer.
Okay.
for real estate agents in the Disenchanted Forest who will be happy to pair you with the correct hollowed out tree, hole in the hill, sort of like a nest within a valley. They're very specialized in finding what you need to make yourself feel at home and ensuring that everybody has a place to stay within the Disenchanted Forest so that we prevent overcrowding or bickering or any sort of unpleasantries that could occur. So yes, it's a welcoming place, but we do prefer that you go through the correct channels. And then you can look to next month's flyer to see some of the real estate agents that we approve of in the Disenchanted Forest, who happen to have paid for ad space in the flyer.
I see. So everyone chipping in, carrying their own weight, benefiting society in some way. Now, do you feel there might still be room for individuals who are not so adept at using their hands for work or lifting or carrying or being in the outdoors for any extended period of time, but are not as well read as they might wish they are, fairly good at interviewing people, although they're told often that they speak too much during the interview and don't allow the guest to speak enough, and honestly would prefer to have someone else editing the interviews afterwards. Is there something like that? Something for room for someone like that?
Well, Dana, I will let you know that we here at the Disenchanted Forest believe that it takes all sorts, all different kinds of people, creatures, beings to make up a beautiful and holistic society. You know, for every person that likes to talk, there's another person that likes to sip on their tea in the meantime.
I see. And what kind of tea are you enjoying at this time?
It is a blend that I made for myself from herbs in my garden. It is rose petal and lavender and clove. And of course, some black tea in there and some secret ingredients that I can't share. But nothing illicit, of course. I mean,
Of course not.
No, but it is the right pick-me-up for just as one as myself.
I see.
But as I said, we have, I can't say what, off the top of my head, what positions are open currently.
Got it.
We're more of a community and rather not so much a work forest, but we do, I'm sure I know that the dwarves are always looking for.
Can we still say that? I don't have a censor. I guess I'm the censor, I suppose. But dwarves, that's okay. That still works.
I believe that's the preferred nomenclature that they do call themselves.
Okay.
As beings who generally tend, I mean, their preferred profession is within the mines. But we have, I believe, the dwarves are, if I am correct, they are presenting their custom made they are. They are presenting their hand-carved furnishings at the upcoming art fair and flea market here at the Disenchanted Forest. So they are beings of many talents, and I believe they prefer to be called dwarves if I understand them correctly.
Well, I think that that's perfectly acceptable for you to call them that, and for them to want to be called that. I, though, on their behalf, don't feel comfortable using that term. I'm just taking it upon myself to label that as an offensive term coming from someone like me. So maybe shorty stout beards.
Well, Dana, I would love to accommodate your needs. So shorty, excuse me, what did you call them?
Shorty stout beards.
Shorty stout beards. I shall call them such here on out.
Write that down. To hear my suggestions accepted just like that, you know, it's because I feel like the language is important. Like when I refer to myself and so many people in our country as unhoused, now one might say that's the exact same thing as saying homeless. Why would you change the term from homeless to unhoused? It's the exact same thing. It does not sound any better. And to those people, I say, well, but less sounds like, of course, not as much. And so it makes it seem like that I don't have as much of a home as other people. Where if I say that I am unhoused, it means there are houses. I just don't live in one of them.
Well, as the member of the unhoused community, I will defer to you on your preferred language.
Oh, wow. This is incredible. I'm learning so much, and I can't believe to hear about a place that's this welcoming, and if everyone's as accommodating as you are, and you have bureaucracy and clear rules and a newsletter. I mean, let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, in every community, there are, you know, like I said, it takes all different sorts, but all different sorts don't always blend together as harmoniously as one would like. So it's not that we have rules that people follow to the letter. We always have to keep reminding people to do their best and to be respectful of others. I mean, we just had to warn a group of individuals and ask them that they are mindful of their other neighbors when they perform nighttime yodeling sessions or yodeling parties. Oh. I don't want to call out any one type of person or being, but you know, not everybody is always respectful of other people's boundaries, both physical, metaphysical, metaphorical even. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, no place is idyllic, even if it seems to be, but we do try as much as possible.
How in the Disenchanted Forest do you enforce these rules? Because, you know, in the rest of our society in the United States of America, we have a police force, which is a necessary and undervalued resource to enforce any rules that our bureaucracy were to come up with. And while I do support them, I also believe that they should have no resources in which to complete their job if they are not valuing I'm getting in another one of my Dana circles. I support the police enforcing the rules, but not in them being funded to support the rules, because those rules can be bad. I'm on the verge of a nosebleed. This happens sometimes, a paradox of opinions trying to navigate. It's not easy. That's why I dream of another place. And still, I mean, regardless of any warnings you may try to give me, I'm only listening to the good parts.
Well, as to answer your question, Dana, we do reserve part of the treasury budget for brute squad services. So we don't necessarily have our own rule enforcer, if you will. Uh-huh. We do ask that people just be respectful to the extent that they can. But when things become problematic, when most of the population of the Disenchanted Forest gangs up on possibly an individual or group of individuals, then that's when we would call in the brute squad. So I guess you could say that we use a privatized service, but it is one that is preferred and voted upon by the majority. But generally, people just get a stern talking to.
From my experience, that's enough to shut you down emotionally for several weeks. So I'm sure it's very effective.
It works better than one might imagine.
Now, in my notes here, I definitely wanted to talk about this, because I see that you also have you launched, or has it been launched as an active book club?
So, yes. In the community flyer, we do have some notes about our monthly book club. Let me just turn to the page here, because I myself am not the president of the Disenchanted Reader. Ismeld Illiterata is, but ooh, I do have Ismeld's notes. Ismeld's notes in our flyer. So I will read to you what Ismeld has recommended for the book club. So
excellent.
For the month of April, the Disenchanted Reader Book Club read the Musrak Van Ork's harrowing saga, Manticore Massacre. After researching countless tomes and speaking with the few surviving eyewitnesses of that ordeal, Musrak details how a group of ragtag adventurers attempted to save a town from a pack of manticores, and how their intentions were twisted into the horror that legend tells of it today.
Ooh.
And for the month of May, the disenchanted reader is reading City Core, the austere yet severe aesthetic, Taking Forest Folk by Storm. And this is by Emrelda Elmrod.
Ooh, so I'm going to write that down. Emrelda Elmrod.
Elmrod. And Elmrod. We do include pictures of the covers in the Disenchanted Reader.
Oh, nice.
You find things more visually. So every month we select a new book to discuss. And for those who are interested in joining the book club, you would speak with Ismeld Illiterata.
Illiterata, yes. If I find myself here, I don't know, for some extended period of time, perhaps, I think that's exactly the kind of place that I would like to... Where is the book club held?
The book club is held in a reading circle within the leaflet fields.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a clearing. You have to pass through Penragon's Poppies.
Okay.
You go there and then you hang left against the amorphous malaris. It's a giant rock.
Okay.
It's just strangely shaped, and it's okay. All by itself next to the poppies. And then you head over to the leaflet fields. And if you continue on past all of the shrubbery, you will find a toadstool circle. And that is where Ismeld holds her book club.
Excellent. So the poppy fields, left, the strange standing rock on its own, and then toadstools in the leaflet fields,
yes.
Excellent.
The Disenchanted Forest is quite an abounding community, so it is difficult to always remember every name of every.
Sure. And this leaflet, the field, that's outside as well?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you speak with Ismeld, it's possible that she could accommodate a small group within her hollowed out stump.
Oh, okay. Well, that might work out then. If you were to warn a potential new resident at the Disenchanted Forest, what is one thing you would tell them to look out for?
So we do have, like any community, we do have our little foibles. The head of our safety and security section of the newsletter is Bosnir Flatbrow.
Bosnir.
And he does have some warnings to give us this month. I know I've spoken to Bosnir a great deal about this. We do have a bit of a violent squirrel problem in recent months. So I will not paraphrase Bosnir, because as you can see, I'm already starting to be a little bit forgetful about certain things. So I will reiterate or dictate rather what Bosnir has to say about our little squirrel issue.
Okay.
It has come to our attention that a member of the community has been interacting with local wildlife such that some of our fauna have grown accustomed to forest folk. As a result, certain critters have attacked a number of residents. In one recent incident, Aplom Portwright reported that an aggressive squirrel climbed onto his hump and nipped at his earlobes repeatedly. Portwright said he managed to shake off the squirrel, which ran up a tree. Several other residents in the Elmglade area of the Disenchanted Forest reported similar interactions with the creature. Please do not feed, sing with, or employ wildlife for household chores or scullery duties. Doing so will habituate them to no longer fear forest folk and encourage them to approach looking for food or gainful employment, resulting in further injuries to your neighbors. Should this activity escalate, the council will meet to discuss legal ramifications and whether to consult a hunter to call the aggressive fauna. We would like to avoid resorting to that last resort, and especially a repeat of the deer incident. So please heed this warning for all our sakes. And that is from Bosnir Flatbrow about our recent aggressive squirrel predicament. And this is just the result of one individual who has been feeding and employing local wildlife in her home and the home that she shares with a few gentlemen. She's been given a severe talking to. I believe that she has taken a leave of absence in the middle of the forest. Some have seen her lounging in the middle of the forest, which is yet another troubling report that we are trying to deal with at the council. I don't believe it was squirrel related. I don't believe that she was laid low by such a creature. I believe it had something to do with someone selling unauthorized produce, which we do also have rules for. That's also in the community flyer.
About produce rules.
Well, just that it is recommended that if you are shopping, you only do so by patronizing those carts that are approved by the council. So you look for the seal of approval on their cart. I believe I've heard reports of an old crone that has been selling produce without a license. And there has been one death already linked, or one purported death linked to unauthorized produce. So there are concerns, obviously, that we are trying to address, just like any community. We do want to give every sort of bit of transparency as we possibly can. And we would like everybody who is thinking of making a home that you do so with every bit of information that you possibly can. So I will be honest, we do have a bit of an aggressive squirrel issue, but it is being dealt with. The council is meeting this month to discuss the matter, and that of unauthorized produce sales, which has upticked since the weather has gotten warmer and people think that they can just sell whatever they have growing in their gardens without the seal of approval from the council.
I do want to touch on the crone.
Yes.
Because, you know, I don't, by all means, I do not want to stereotype, but I do have a few questions. Maybe not this particular crone. I don't know if there is a vibrant crone population, but often, from my limited understanding, and I do not project and I do not assume to know, but I have heard, and I am with open dialogue approaching, again, not stereotyping, but I've heard of such persons perhaps having the ability to, you know, curse or poison, whether in produce form or other means. And, you know, I would assume being of the magical variety of poisoning, that not as traceable in testing by forensic teams and that sort of thing, but just as deadly and perhaps untraceable. And that, I guess my question is, can that crone do that? Do you think that crone has more poison fruit?
Excuse me, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Oh, just generally educating myself about crone culture.
Oh, crone culture.
If it's common that they would have the ability, whether against the bylaws and written structure of the Disenchanted Forest, but if conceivably they could provide produce that would poison a person in a non-traceable way.
Well, I mean, like I said, we do have order and method in the Disenchanted Forest. Plants, trees, etc., they grow as they may. Because creatures of the forest do not. And there are apothecarists, there are poisoners. We have everything is for security purposes. Everything is logged and cataloged for such a purpose. Now,
of course,
I don't claim to know any to speak for the crone community. However, allegedly, one such crone has been linked to a report of possible unauthorized produce. Now, I do not have the knowledge as to whether or not such produce was poisoned at the time. I do know for a fact, though, this produce was not, she was not authorized to sell produce in this way. We do have seminars, we do provide community seminars so that we ensure that all forest folk understand one another and communicate with one another in a respectful manner. So if the crone community does feel that it is being unfairly perhaps judged or the fingers are pointed more in their direction, I welcome them to handwrite me a letter.
Of course.
And we can address the issue at hand. We have no problem finding wooded amphitheaters to hold discussions and diversity lectures. We do so all the time. I mean, just next month, we are holding, we are having one such Riley Sagebrush Walker, a renowned forager, will be giving a hands-on foraging and food safety seminar. Again, food safety. The event is BYOB, Bring Your Own Basket. So we do have plenty of events and seminars, learning opportunities. We can learn from each other. But once again, we'd like to do so in a safe and orderly manner. So it's not so much that a crone or a member of the crone community is poisoning people. It's that she's offering a product that is not that she's not authorized to do so. We have authorized poisoners, we have authorized apothecarists, we have authorized potion makers. They all have to log what they are selling so that we can avoid unfortunate mishaps.
Of course, this all still sounding very, very good to me. I do have one note here that I actually don't remember writing down. This must have been in one of my... I keep a notepad next to my sleeping space.
Absolutely.
And this one made its way on there. I have been, you know, we were talking about illicit substances earlier, and I will admit I have been, perhaps against doctor's orders, dabbling in melatonin. And as sometimes I don't remember the middle of the nights, but I have here written in a handwriting that does not even look like my own, but it just says Satyr orgies, question mark. So I guess...
Oh, yeah. Well, so that is not an illicit situation whatsoever. Let me refer.
I would only be observing, I guess. I should specify.
Well, so we ask that if you are to visit or to move to the Disenchanted Forest, that you are respectful of all forest folk, and that does include the satyrs. Now, it is satyr mating season.
Oh.
And we do not recommend that you participate and or view satyr mating. It's not really a spectacle, really, because if you know anything about satyrs,
I do not.
They will storm anything with a pulse, regardless of their size or species.
Oh,
so you would be putting yourself in danger. And like I said, we have no real rule enforcement to. I mean, that would be on you if you went to view.
I see.
The mating in the voracious valleys and you were attacked. We did put a warning in the previous flyer. So please stay away from the satyr mating grounds in the voracious valleys, because you could be injured and or killed.
Okay.
They are quite massive beasts, either gender. And they do not discern. They see a creature, they will mount it.
I guess just in a hypothetical situation, as I'm not from the region and I like to always, you know, obey the rules and perform and behave in a safe manner, that if I were to accidentally wander into the fields and there are, you know, just satyrs just imbibing and slithering and moving as one in some sort of sexual rat king in the middle of the field, and one of them, as I tried to be respectful of their culture and just make my way, but block eyes with one and feel some sort of connection beyond anything that I've felt with anyone else, and it were to approach me aggressively but yet slowly, and then come to me and I suppose, force itself upon me, but not in a way that made me feel in danger, but more of a way that made me feel welcomed and perhaps even safe for the first time. Would that be okay then to engage?
Well, I would say that you are one of the lucky ones. We have had members of the, we have sort of a cleanup service that comes in that deals with not just reagent waste, but also remains. Any other unfortunate creature that has happened upon the Voracious Valleys at the inopportune moment.
Voracious Valleys, I'm writing that down.
Yes. Well, has not really met the end that you're describing. Should you happen to experience that situation as you have described, then you would be one of the lucky ones.
Right. And I guess in that hypothetical situation, I wouldn't even be concerned with my end. I wouldn't need to finish as long as the satyrs got to complete their ritual.
I mean, I think they're going to regardless, but you're welcome to participate if that's, you have been warned.
I have been welcomed to participate.
I would not say that, but those were not my words.
Well, as we come up here to the end of our time for this very educational conversation, I do want to address, I've written down two little notes that I would not want to end our conversation without getting to. One being your brute squad. Was that, am I?
The brute squad.
Are they, they're not a public funded situation. It's more of an independent. So I'm just wondering, are they available for hire for work outside of the Disenchanted Forest, giving stern talking tos to individuals? Average citizens or oil tycoons who purchase public radio stations and turn them into for-profit monstrosities?
I believe so. I believe you would need to talk to the giant that's in charge of the Brute Squad. I'm not sure if he would like his name to be publicly. I mean, it is privileged information that I know as the president of the community association. So we can always discuss privately whether or not the giant that's at the head of the Brute Squad would be available for individual, not so much businesses, but individuals. I'm sure they are. I've heard tell. But of course, there's liability that they have to weigh. So I will share his contact information with you afterwards.
Excellent. Next note being, what was that crone's name?
I still don't have all of the intelligence regarding that situation. We're still gathering all that we need to know. Our investigators are still looking into the matter, so I don't necessarily have her name on hand. And I don't think we are necessarily identifying her publicly in the event that she is not charged with any crime. So the matter is still under investigation.
I take full responsibility for this with my questioning, but we are grossly over our time here. I want to thank you again for joining me. For those who may have just tuned in the middle of this pirate radio podcast, my guest has been Miss Sylvia Pinales. I said it right the first time, didn't I? And then I corrected myself.
You did. Okay. Well, you know, you'll gain confidence the more we speak to one another.
Yeah. Oh, so this will be a continued conversation. You cannot understand how happy that makes me. Wonderful. And
for a second cup of tea.
This is great. I thank you for spending this time talking to me. It's been very enlightening. I want to thank all of our listeners for spending yet another evening with the authors. And you have my word. I will do whatever I can to keep our regular guest, Grom the Annihilator, from finding out where you and your fey people live.
Much appreciated, Dana.
Thank you, and good night.